Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Alongside Michael Remus, I'm Drew Mandel in a key Central Division matchup on this Tuesday night, a wintry Tuesday night here in Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Jets prevail by a 2-1 margin over the visiting Minnesota Wild, thus extending their lead on the Wild to 7 full points, with the Wild still having 3 games in hand. By virtue of the 2-1 win, the Jets, of course, earn the 2 points. The Wild get the one. I'd have to say, Michael, that Minnesota coming in on the second night of a back-to-back probably are quite pleased to escape with the 1 point. Of course, 2 is preferable, but given the way the first 10 to 12 minutes of this game started, where the Jets were absolutely peppering the Wild with shots on goal. At one point in time, I believe the shots were 10-1 and I believe 15-3 at a point in time in the first period. If it wasn't for Devan Dubnyk and making a number of key saves early in this game, it could very well have been over before the first 20 minutes had been played.
Yeah, Drew, I mean, you look at the first 10 minutes, I don't think Minnesota even had a shot.
I don't think so, either.
Until the 10-minute mark of the first period. The Jets came out on fire. Yeah, maybe some of their shots were wide, and Minnesota was blocking shots left and right. Minnesota actually had 25 block shots to the Jets' 7. But I think the Jets, they're back on track. They're playing the way that they need to play with that fire and with that intensity. And, hey, look, the Jets' top 3 lines didn't allow any, weren't on the ice for any goals this game. And we'll get to that later. But I think the Jets played a great game. They needed the 2 points. And, I mean, yes, maybe if you're a Jets fan, you're not happy about Minnesota getting one because they're chasing you and they have games in hand. But you got to focus on yourself and get the 2.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a clean win, as the expression goes, is more preferable to each team earning points. But the Jets aren't going to worry themselves too much about that. They do get the 2 points. I think what is somewhat important for the Jets is that they got the win in overtime rather than a shootout, thus helping them on the tiebreaker.
Oh.
As they actually trail significantly in regulation and overtime wins compared to the rest of the teams that are currently in playoff spots in the Western Conference. With the victory, they now have 24 regulation and overtime wins, which is less than everybody else. Fortunately, that'll keep them tied, though, with the Minnesota Wild for regulation overtime wins, if you're looking at a tiebreaker later on. But we are getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves with that analysis, I would suggest.
Yeah, I think so, Drew. I mean, the Jets just need to keep focusing on winning games and playing the right way, and the wins will come. And you know what? It took them a few games after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But they've hit their stride. They've played 3 good games in a row. They've put all the drama from last week behind them. And, you know, Dustin Byfuglien and Michael Hutchinson, Matthew Pro, everyone's on the same page, playing great.
Yeah.
And looking to take it into Nashville on Thursday.
5 out of 6 points on this homestand against 3
great
Central Division teams. They've now earned points in 4 straight games. That is the Winnipeg Jets, going back to the overtime loss in Vancouver last Tuesday night, really when all the drama began. So we've now gone 7 full days with the Evander Kane drama now in the background a little bit.
I think so. I think for us, we get to do the trade speculation, but we're, you know, it's no longer about what happened and who did what. And
it's not the it's not the focus of a post game interview. It's not the focus of a interview during the pregame skate or during the, you know, during a practice. He's injured. He's not going to be with the team for the rest of this season. Since that happened, the Jets are 2-0-1, so you wanted to say, you know, how are they going to respond to all that drama? I think it's safe to say that they've responded positively thus far, taking 5 out of 6 points against 3 division rivals.
Yeah, I think so. And division rivals, you're playing the Chicago Blackhawks, Stanley Cup contender, Minnesota, the hottest team in the league.
Yeah.
Right now, Colorado didn't look great out of a back-to-back,
no.
And they definitely don't look like
Colorado's
a
win they had to have, and they had it easily,
yeah,
which was important. But these games against Minnesota and Chicago, points key, 3 out of 4 in those 2 games.
Huge.
Key for the Jets, keeps them a good amount of distance between them and the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, 3 points behind the Chicago Blackhawks again. You're probably getting a little bit greedy if you're looking upwards,
right,
to the Blackhawks. But keep your status quo going, and you're going to be a playoff team.
And I said this, Drew, before. You know, last few years, if the Jets were in this spot, an important must-win game, they would have found a way to lose this one.
Sure.
It wouldn't have gone their way, but it went their way. This game is a
especially after what happened in the third period, giving up the lead.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
So let's start.
This is a different team with a different coach and a different attitude. I said that earlier.
I agree with you there. You look at the first two periods of tonight's game, and there wasn't much going on. As we mentioned, the Jets came out like a house on fire, drastically outshooting the Minnesota Wild in the first period. Probably the first 10 to 15 minutes of that first period were dominated by the Jets. Wild sort of found their legs towards the end of the first period, and you know the first period ended with no goals for either team, and 15 shots for the Jets, 8 for the Minnesota Wild. The Jets had one power play in that first period to no effect. Second period, also no scoring, but the Minnesota Wild, to my mind, were probably the better of the two teams in the second period, although it was a relatively uneventful second period. Michael Hutchinson had to make some nice saves. There were a couple power plays for the Wild, one again for the Winnipeg Jets, but no damage done either way. Shots in the second period were 13-9. As you could see, the Minnesota Wild were really sort of, hey, we're in this game. We survived the first 15-minute flurry of the Winnipeg Jets. Let's, you know, we got a 20-minute third period to see if somebody's going to draw some blood here.
Yeah, I said this to you before we started the podcast, that the first 10 minutes of the game were dominated by the Jets. The last 10 minutes were all Jets, and the middle was kind of a wash. And I thought the Jets, when they were on the power play, they didn't score on it, but they looked great. They're passing the puck around. Brian Little has really establish himself as a guy who can go on the left hash mark and rip shots from there. Matthew Perreault on the right top of the face-off dot or right point.
The Jets love that cross-ice pass to Little on the power
play. They're working that umbrella very well. And, you know, we saw Brian. He didn't score today, Brian Little. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he had his shot that Buffalo tipped last game, and he scored the game before then on one-timers. Scored in Vancouver on one-timers. And it's really, really working for him. And the power play, they didn't score, but they got a lot of chances and controlled the play and looked great.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that assessment. The power play for the Jets, while not successful, was certainly in control and effective in controlling the play and moving the puck around the Wild zone. Third period, the Jets finally open the scoring. It comes at the 7:53 mark of the third period. Toby Enstrom, with his third of the year, assist to Matthew Perreault. And when I say Toby Enstrom, I really mean Nito Niederreiter, as it was an Enstrom point shot that Niederreiter goes to block, and he just lays a terrific tip on the puck, and as a result, he's able to, the shot beats Devan Dubnyk short side. It sort of, by getting his stick on it, he very drastically sort of changed the pace of the shot. Dubnyk was square to it. Looked like he would have been able to handle it relatively easily, I thought. Niederreiter, I mean, obviously he's just trying to make a play on it. Ends up with a bad result, and the Jets are on the board 1-0.
Yeah, certainly a tough play. I mean, you're trying to block the shot, and Minnesota did that, as you mentioned earlier, 25 block shots for them. And, you know, sometimes if you're a defenseman, you got to let the goalie play it, but you have that instinct. You want to get in front. You want to block the shot, and it just didn't go their way on that one.
That's exactly right. The place is rocking. It's 1-0. Finally, yeah. The Jets are able to get one past Dubnyk.
You could tell it was a Tuesday night game early on, but when it got into the third period, late in the third, I thought the crowd into it.
The fans knew what the stakes were. I mean, the second period, it was hard to really gather up any emotion for it because neither team played with that much emotion on the ice during the second period. Mm-hmm. But the fans know the stakes of this game. They're not stupid. They know that it's, you know, the Jets have a 6-point lead entering the night. Minnesota's got 3 games in hand. They're undefeated in I guess 6 or 7 entering tonight's game. They've been the hottest team in the NHL. Fans in Winnipeg, you know, they certainly know what's going on and what the story is entering a game. Terrible shift for the Jets' fourth line at the the halfway mark of the third period, and it leads to a Jason Pominville goal. Shift starts deep with an offensive zone draw next to Devan Dubnyk's right. And I understand why head coach Paul Maurice is trying to give the fourth line a shift at that point. He figures it's the Wild throw their fourth line on. Now, and so he throws his fourth line on to match, figuring it's an offensive zone draw. They're going to be in an okay spot. Problem is, he also has Adam Partey and Ben Sherratt on the ice at this point in time. So the Jets have their weakest line offensively, or their weakest forward line. They have their weakest defensive pairing on the ice. And the Wild fourth line, which, you know, you think fourth line, well, their fourth line is nothing to sneeze at. In fact, I think it's a pretty decent fourth line for the Minnesota Wild. They certainly have a fair bit of speed and everything else. That's, you know, Brandon Sutter, Kyle Brodziak, and Justin Fontaine have a fair bit of speed. They get possession deep in the Jets zone, and the Jets fourth line is just running around, can't clear the puck, really can't get their stick on the puck at all. The Wild are able to start to make a line change to really add to the pressure on the Jets. On the Jets' fourth line, Mikko Koivu gets onto the ice. Ryan Suter's on the ice. Jason Palmenville's on the ice. So the Jets are in a lot of trouble at that point in time. Pardon me, I read that completely wrong. Let's try that again.
All right.
Zach Parise's on the ice.
Yeah, well, they got the change in the middle.
They got the line change in the middle. Palmenville is on the ice as well. So they're sort of midway through a change, putting on their a more dominant offensive line at that point in time to really hem in the Jets' fourth line. The puck comes to Jim Slater. He gets body checked by Zach Parise.
Yeah.
Puck comes out right in the mid slot, and Jason Palmenville has jumped off the bench, and he wires it past Michael Hutchinson to tie the game at 1-1, 10:22 into the third period.
Yeah, Jason Palmenville's got a great shot, and the puck was just sitting there, and not much of a chance for Hutchinson. And this play, I mean, the guys in the fourth line, the Jets, they don't get much ice time. If they're going to be playing, you know, this has been a concern all year with the fourth line. If they're going to be playing, they can't allow any goals. I mean, offensive zone faceoff, they get hemmed up in their own zone. They're in there for a minute 15. Well, that's how long the shift was, a minute 15.
Sure.
I'm sure about a little over a minute of it, they were in their own zone.
Well,
the
faceoff was in the Jets' offensive zone,
and then,
but it was down the ice very
right
quickly.
Right away. And they got stuck in there. They couldn't get a change. They had a few chances to get the puck out. They couldn't do it. I mean,
the Wild smelled blood on that play.
Yeah, you could tell. And once they got the line change and you knew something bad was going to happen because they had already been on the ice in their own zone for chasing it around for 40 seconds. And if you're Anthony Peluso, you're on the ice for four and a half minutes in a game. You can't have a minute 15 be a shift where you give up a goal.
No,
I mean that's
well, we didn't see the the fourth line after that point in time.
Well, there was 10 minutes left in the third. You knew you weren't going to.
That's right.
Either way, but I mean, if there's ever a reason, I mean, this
has to give Paul Maurice a fair bit of pause, though, that he can't, at least tonight. And you know, it doesn't necessarily mean going forward, but he gets his fourth line an offensive zone faceoff in the third period against another team's fourth line, and what happens? The Jets just can't do anything at all.
It's a huge concern, and this is a big game. The trade deadline's coming up. You'd think that there's someone out there that they can get who's
relatively cheap, who's an upgrade.
Who's an upgrade, better than Anthony Peluso.
Even if they get a third liner and Chris Thornberry gets bumped down to the fourth line where he's played a lot. That's much more preferable than the fourth line of Slater, Gagliardi, and Peluso tonight.
Yeah, Mark Arcobello just went on waivers this morning. I wonder if they'll take a stab at him. He played some time in Edmonton earlier and Pittsburgh. But Thorburn has been playing very well, filling on the third line. He's playing, he's playing almost 12 minutes today.
Yeah.
He's getting, about 3-4 minutes earlier on in the year.
Nobody had any problem with Chris Thorburn's play on the third line.
No.
It's the fourth line
this
that is obviously troublesome for the Jets. And they'd like to upgrade their depth altogether because, really, their options are few and far between.
Well, they don't have an extra forward on the roster.
Well, they do. Cormier.
Oh, Cormier, right. They called him up. But still, he was played in such limited time last game. They don't want to use him.
It seems apparent that Paul Maurice doesn't know what he has in Patrice Cormier, if he has anything at this point. Anyways, Wild tie it up with about 10 minutes to go in the game. No scoring for the remainder of the third period. A couple good chances, but sort of each team really did seem relatively...
I think Ladd had one that hit the post.
Well, what happened was...
Perreault hit the post, too?
No, that was at the...
That was
the Ladd. The Ladd post came shorthanded right before the Enstrom goal.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and then each team had a number of posts and crossbars throughout the course of the game. Nino Niederreiter had one late in the third period that just got a bit of a little bit of room in the Jets zone, and he wired one off the crossbar. Matthew Perreault had a post on a power play earlier in the game. So each team did have a couple of posts hit. Overtime begins 4-on-4. Trying to really think, the Wild didn't really have very many good quality scoring chances. In the overtime session, the Jets had a couple. The Wild, the game turns on a turnover, though. The Wild have the puck deep in the Winnipeg Jets zone. Jared Spurgeon plays the puck back to the point man. Dustin Byfuglien jumps on it, intercepts the pass. Defenseman falls down at the blue line in this instance for the Minnesota Wild. The defenseman there, I believe, was Jared Spurgeon. Pardon me, Spurgeon made the pass back. So there's a forward covering for Jared Spurgeon at that point. It's either... It's either Mikko Koivu or it's Jason Pominville. They get caught up. They fall down. Dustin Byfuglien and Blake Wheeler come in on a 2-on-1 opportunity. And Byfuglien coming down the right-hand side, he elects not to pass to Wheeler, who's they're being defended by Ryan Suter. And Byfuglien is able to pick the top corner blocker side on Devin Dubnyk. Just an absolute world-class snapshot by the Jets, big number 33, giving the Jets the win 2-1. In overtime.
Yeah, great play by Dustin Byfuglien. I mean, he's a right shot shooting to the left, far left corner. I mean, not many guys can do that in the NHL. And Dustin Byfuglien, he played defense earlier. He's back and forward, made some great moves. And he's, I don't want to say he's carrying this team, but he's one of the guys putting the team on his back right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that, you're right. He's carrying this team with his play.
Yeah, Michael Hutchinson was the first star. He played very well, too. I don't think he had too many. Yeah, he had a few difficult saves.
He had a couple that actually squeaked through him.
There was a couple that squeaked through him.
One squeaked through him, and then Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba were Johnny on the spot to sort of push it back underneath Hutchinson. And then he had another one that squeaked through him, and it actually trickled all the way just wide of the post.
Yeah, there was another one, a 2-on-1, as a toe drag by Granlund.
Yeah.
And he tried to go backdoor, and Hutchinson was right there. So he played great as well. And I wonder who they're going to go with on Thursday. I mean, we'll have plenty of time to discuss that tomorrow on NHL Midweek.
We'll discuss it tomorrow on NHL Midweek when we preview the Thursday night's Jets-Predators game. Jets haven't seen the Predators since early in the year. I believe November, maybe it was late October, they played a couple times here at MTS Center.
Yeah,
but Willie Donick, the radio play-by-play voice of the Predators, is going to join us tomorrow evening. Jets Thursday in Nashville, then Saturday, of course, in Detroit,
yeah.
And then back home Monday night, Louis Riel, Monday night against the Edmonton Oilers. So it will be interesting to see how head coach Paul Maurice elects to use his goaltenders this coming Thursday and Saturday. With the three games every second night, pretty much all this week. In terms of time on the ice, you look at the Winnipeg Jets defensemen. They're led by Jacob Trouba, 24 minutes and 37 seconds. Zach Bogosian, 23:57. You look at the Adam Party and Ben Chiarot pairing. Adam Party, 11:41. Ben Chiarot, 9:03, which is a fairly low total for a guy the Jets had been relying on him, primarily when Dustin Byfuglien was his defensive partner. You look at the forward group, Andrew Ladd, 22 minutes and 54 seconds. Dustin Byfuglien, 23:58. And those are the guys who lead the team. Blake Wheeler, 22:02 in terms of the forward group. That's it from the MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets have defeated the Minnesota Wild by a 2-1 margin. Stay tuned. We have post-game audio from both the Jets and the Wild dressing room. And, of course, NHL Midweek Wednesday night. That's tomorrow night, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290. For Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.